Hello, everybody, and welcome to this episode of You Get to Be You This Time. I'm Veronica Archer, your host for this series, where we are discussing how to create a life you love without compromising who you are when recovering from traumatic relationships. In this episode, we are talking with Dorothy Hewson about how abuse or trauma can lead to chronic pain and how to heal from it. This, of course, is a topic that is very near and dear to my heart because it is part of my story as well. Do make sure you stay to the very end of this conversation to hear about a special free gift that she has for you. And before we get started, I'll share with our listeners a little bit about Dorothy. Dorothy Hewson helps people suffering from chronic pain due to childhood trauma, abuse, or ongoing stress to dissolve their pain, connect to their confidence, and live life fully. She herself lived with obesity, diabetes, and IBS for decades due to complex PTSD. At 50 years old, she began to heal from her chaotic childhood and sexual abuse by using mind-body psychotherapy. Now at 59 years old, she has reversed her chronic pain, both emotionally and physically. Welcome, Dorothy. I'm so excited to be talking about this.
Thank you. Good to be here, Veronica. Thank you for inviting me.
Of course. And of course, our listeners can't see you, Dorothy, but I've known you for quite a few years now. And I have to say that, well, first of all, I didn't know your age, by the way. Not that it really matters, but I would have assumed you were much younger. And I know that even like in the years that I've known you, you'd already started your healing or been very far along in your healing and using mind body. But I swear every time I see you, you look younger and more radiant. And I know it's because you are doing this work and it's reflecting in your appearance. So it's amazing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course.
I get that a lot. I think a lot of it has to do with my genes as well. But yeah, I appreciate that.
Thanks. Yeah, maybe. I think, genes certainly play a factor. But okay, well, let's talk about this chronic pain. So can you start by sort of explaining, you know, why people may experience, or what type of chronic pain people may experience due to trauma? Or yeah. Actually even like, why? I think people are really surprised by this, that you can be in chronic pain and have it linked to your trauma or abuse. Can you explain that connection?
Yeah, sure. So it is hard to understand or make the connection, but you know, hopefully, you know, once I lay it out, it'll be much clearer, because we're kind of working backward when we look at the chronic pain. That has taken, and chronic pain means that it happens over a long period of time. It's not acute pain, which is from a sudden accident or a cut or something. So chronic pain develops over decades of time. It's a slow development of something going wrong inside of our body. And so we don't really feel the effects many times until decades later. And the reason is because it's what's happened is there's been a raising of our stress level to a constant level of stress that is higher than normal. And so, which we call chronic stress. So, and so we become used to it. It becomes our normal way of feel, like we feel we're okay, but yet we have this heightened level of stress that's going on inside of our body. And that's why it takes many times decades over, you know, of time before it actually becomes a problem for us, where we actually, it starts to interfere with our life, or we go into the doctor one day and the doctor says, oh, you have diabetes and, you know, you need to lose weight. And I went through that, and that's not really what, I couldn't lose weight because my weight was connected to my childhood trauma as a defense mechanism. So mm-hmm. The simple fact of my doctor telling me, you need to lose weight, you know, I'd been trying to lose weight my whole life. And it just didn't work for me.
And Dorothy, I think that's sort of the challenge with, you know, when we go to medical professionals, they are really just looking at, they're trained to look at the physical symptoms and provide you with a physical treatment to that symptom. But that might not be what you actually need in order to heal. So I was curious how diabetes is related to chronic stress, because we think of that as related to food and weight. But it sounds like in your case, it was the trauma and chronic stress from that trauma triggered the obesity, and the obesity then triggered the diabetes. Is that right?
Yes. Yeah.
And a doctor, a medical doctor, isn't going to make that connection for you. They're just going to see diabetes, or they're just going to see obesity. And so you'll just keep going back and back, and they'll keep telling you the same thing, and nothing, and you keep doing what the medical doctor tells you, and nothing works, and you're just stuck in this like infinite loop of frustration.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That was my experience. Not with diabetes, but with other things. Yeah. Yeah.
It's very disheartening. Also you feel, I felt like a moral failure because, you know, I was quote unquote undisciplined, and weak morally because I couldn't lose weight and, all that just, you know.
Now you're adding shame on top of the shame that you're already feeling. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So for me, I was sexually, abused when I was a child, and I didn't address it. I never, the way I dealt with it, the way my parents dealt with it, the way I dealt with it is we just pretended like it didn't happen. And just, you know, my parents are from that World War II generation. They're both passed away now, but which they were raised with this idea. And that's how they survived, was like, you pull up your bootstraps and you, you get through it. You know, you just, you don't think about the past, and you, it is very, you know, forward looking kind of, mindset where we got to do what we got to do to, you know, survive in this world. And, so that's how I was, you know, told, you know, not directly, but, indirectly that, you know, let's just not deal with it. I internalized their mindset. And, so what happened was, as I started to, gain weight as a young child, because, food was my source of comfort. I felt good. I felt, and plus I was kind of a quiet kid that was introverted as well. So I just enjoyed reading books and watching TV and eating. And so I started to gain weight. And then.
And Dorothy, my understanding of sexual abuse is not my area of expertise, but I understand that's pretty common for people who have experienced sexual abuse, is to turn to food. And, you know, I've heard that part of that, there's that comfort piece that you just mentioned, but there's also that desire to, the subconscious desire to not be attractive.
Yes.
Yeah. Not that we all know that sexual abuse and attractiveness are not necessarily related, but subconsciously that's kind of part of it, trying to repel people.
Yes. Yes. It's a way to stay hidden.
Because, thank you. That's a better way of putting it. Mm-hmm.
Because that's what happened to me, is I would, you know, I started gaining weight. My mom started putting me on a diet at around 10 years old, and I could lose weight. I could lose weight up until into my 40s. I was able to, every time I, you know, got at least 50, 60 pounds overweight, that would kind of be my limit. And then I would go on some kind of diet and lose it. So, but the problem was that when I lost the weight, people started to notice me.
Yeah.
Started to compliment me.
Yes.
And I started to be seen by other people, and a lot, and they're just trying to be, you know, kind and nice and encouraging, like, oh man, you look so good, Dorothy, you know, you, how much weight have you lost? And
see, here I started this episode by complimenting your appearance. That's exact, right? It's exactly what people do. Like, you look great. Like, people want to compliment you on it. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a compliment.
Perfect. Yeah.
But deep inside, I got scared because, if you are familiar with your inner child, that, you know, phraseology, my inner child, the young part of myself that, was abused sexually, because I had not processed it or, you know, gone to a therapist or talked about it at all, I internalized a misbelief that, I was chosen, like I was picked because of something about me that was different from other people. Like, mm-hmm. And that even something inside of me even like attracted that abuse for some reason.
Yeah. And so then the eating, of course, would want the obesity would keep you hidden. Like you said, that's, that makes a lot of sense. Dorothy, in the work that you've done working with people, what types of chronic pain have you, or illnesses have you discovered that people experience because of trauma or abuse? I mean, you mentioned for yourself, obesity, diabetes, and IBS. I don't know if our listeners know what IBS is. And then, you know, other things that you've noticed in your clients.
Yeah, there's so many. That's the thing. I don't know why, you know, like I got IBS. I don't know why some people develop migraines. I don't, but we all develop, you know, I think it might be something to do with just a weak spot maybe, or our genes as well. Like there's, like we have a propensity or not a propensity. We have genes that will, when activated, will statistically make it more possible that we will have Alzheimer's. Like we know that, right?
There, yeah, some, like a predisposition.
Mm-hmm. A predisposition. There you go. Thank you. Certain predispositions that when our body's not functioning, you know, very well, and our immune system is suppressed, which is what causes, what is from chronic stress, so our immune system gets depressed or suppressed, or, you know, we're not functioning very well to repair the damage that's going on from chronic stress. We're not sleeping as well. We're not eating as well. And so these propensities get activated. And so I've seen everything from irritable bowel syndrome or digestive problems to migraines to vertigo. I've had clients with just unusual pains that, you know, back pain is a big one. Back pain is a biggie where they've gone to doctors for even surgeries and,
yep. And shoulder pain too is one that I've seen.
Shoulder, yes. Big, like it's
a really big one. Yeah.
Mysterious pains that, the doctors don't have any solutions for. There's no
diagnosis or treatment. Dorothy, I like your use of the word mysterious pain. Our listeners will probably know by now, you know, part of my story is suffering from chronic fatigue syndrome and fibromyalgia. And those are just the labels, if you will, that the doctors finally gave it. But really, I had these long list of symptoms. And I kept going back to the doctor and back to the doctor. And they were like, there's nothing wrong with you. And I'm like, but I'm in pain and I was fatigued. And people don't understand chronic fatigue syndrome. They're like, yeah, we're all tired. We live in a busy world. No, this is like fatigue where it's like having the flu. Like you cannot, it's like painful fatigue. You can't even move. And it's this mysterious pain that may be given some kind of diagnosis. And then hyperthyroidism is another one that I've seen with people and that I myself experience. I think basically our systems kind of shut down, our adrenal system and our endocrine system, which is our systems that process stress, shut down and then, or are overloaded, and then it manifests in these different pains that we have.
Yeah, they're overloaded, exactly. It's like your body can only handle so much of the stress of what's happening inside for so long until we start, it just can't handle it anymore. And but that's, the great thing about our body is that we can reverse it. Like our body can
Yes.
to work better. Our body can start to repair. It just takes that awareness. Like at some point, when we get, and I think that's kind of the message of chronic pain is like, help me, help
It's
me.
your body crying out. Absolutely. Yeah,
Yeah.
so Dorothy, let's dive into that because I'm all about, for and it was laughing when you said earlier that your parents' generation were like about forward thinking. I'm like, "Oh, that's me. Is that a Maybe that's not a good thing. I don't know. But I am forward thinking. So let's talk about how you can heal if you have some of these conditions. How can you start healing from that?
Yeah, like I said, it starts with awareness and an intention that, I guess hope. I really try and give, my clients hope at first because that's a big part of it. This process, it takes time. And it takes willingness and a belief and a trust that my body can heal itself. So
Dorothy,
that's
I'm so glad that you started with that because I think when you're in chronic pain, you do get to a point where you just think you're going to live with it forever. And I had some very dark and hopeless moments where, I had children, so I never thought about leaving this world. But I shouldn't say I never thought about it, but there are those dark moments where you're like, I cannot live with this pain anymore. I mean, for me, it was over 10 years of just constant pain. And you do get, and I know lots of other people, in a similar position situation. So you do get very hopeless because it is difficult living in pain all the time. So I love that you're sharing that message of hope. And to any of our listeners who are resonating with this and feeling that pain, there you can heal. I had chronic depression for most of my life, and again, I had come to a just realization or decision, if you will, that I was just predisposed to depression and it was something I would have to manage my whole life. And that is not true. I've completely healed that. And
Yes.
same,
Yeah.
yeah, thank you. And same thing with the fibromyalgia. Doctors will just tell you there's no cure. You have to live with it forever. It's been a while now that I've been completely cured from those symptom, from those
That's
pains. Yeah.
I have
So,
a similar story as well.
yeah, please share.
So
Stories of hope. I love those.
yeah, so I was about 60 pounds overweight about 3 years ago, and I also had come to the point where I had vowed that I would never diet again. That I this was just my life. I had really done a lot of the internal healing, and I can honestly say that I loved myself the way I was. I had come to the point where I had been doing therapy for, 6 years or so. So I had really come to the place where I could love myself, and I was doing public speaking. I was in Toastmasters, and I was 60 pounds overweight. So I had really just given up hope really at ever losing weight again, or and I had come to the point also of just accepting physically that that's just my life. I had to learn how to manage my diabetes. I had to learn how to manage my weight, and I was okay with that because I could not face another round of failure of losing the weight and then gaining it back. And
Yeah.
I was scared to even try. So but the one thing that changed, that gave me hope, that actually led to me getting healthy physically, was I listened to a doctor, Dr. Jason Fung, on a YouTube channel video, and a friend of mine just said, just watch this video, will you? Just watch it, you know, don't do anything, just watch it. And the one thing that he said, I don't remember what else he said, but the one thing he said on that video was, it's not your fault. And I had never heard that before. And this was a doctor.
Wow. I got chills just you saying that.
I had never heard that before. I was like, it's not my fault. He said, it's not your fault. It's my fault. And he's saying that it's the fault of the medical community that you have been, we have blamed you. We have blamed overweight people and obese people because, you know, to make ourselves feel better, basically. He said, to make ourselves feel better as doctors, we blamed you. Mm-hmm. And it's not your fault. And from that point on, I just could not get it out of my head because I had never been told that before. And that's what led me eventually down the path of figuring out how to heal my body physically.
That is such a powerful message. It is not your fault. And Dorothy, I know that you have a book coming out that I'm sure our listeners are really going to be interested in. And I believe that you said that that's a theme in your book about how it's not your fault and how to kind of reframe things so that you can start healing.
Yeah, it is. I really believe that. And I try and lay it out in my book so my book is about, it's called Surviving to Thriving, Breaking the Transgenerational Chains of Trauma. And so it's not just my story, but it's my mom's story. It's my grandma's story. It's my kid's story as well, about how we as human beings, first of all, we connect to our children through attachment, and then we pass on our survival skills through this relationship between a parent and a child. And so my mom survived again by fighting for her life. She was, like I said, during World War II, she was a young teenager in Europe and was under the stress of, you know, war, what's going on during war, rape and killing and losing your family. And so,
and probably hunger and poverty as well, I guess. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Hunger and poverty. Yes. And so, you know, when I was sexually abused, and some people, you know, feel the need to like blame the perpetrator, you know, put, you know, blame on people. But I really don't see it that way anymore. My parents did the best they could. And it's not the sexual abuse that caused my PTSD. It was the fact that my parents couldn't help me understand it and process it and talk with me and be there for me after the abuse. So that's how trauma gets passed from generation to generation. It's how we deal with the struggles in our life, like how they learned to deal with the struggles in their life did not help me deal with the struggles in my life. And then when my kids were born and I became a mom, you know, I, through attachment again, you know, what I was going through wasn't helping my kids deal with their problems and their struggles. And that's called attunement, which means, you know, in order to change this unhealthy cycle of transferring our survival skills, we can develop attunement to ourselves so that we can then attune to what's happening in our children's lives emotionally, internally. So
is attunement a way of breaking that the transgenerational trauma? Is that what Is my understanding that right? Okay. Yeah. And I'm so glad you brought that up, the transgenerational trauma. It's something that we just touch on, you know, on this series in a couple different ways. And what you just said is that we pass our parents and then ourselves and our children, our grandparents, great-grandparents, we're passing down coping mechanisms, which can then, you know, translate into the, sort of these traumas in our lives. But there's also now medical or biological evidence that we are also passing down trauma in our DNA, which is just so fascinating and probably a whole nother topic, but certainly contributes to, or can contribute to these chronic illnesses that people might be experiencing, because your DNA may already be literally damaged or weakened because of the trauma of your parents. Mm-hmm. And then we're also passing on the behavioral traumas from generation to generation. So understanding that and being able to break it on that, like, your, like the title of your book, breaking it on the transgenerational level. Yeah. And yeah. So attunement is one of the ways to do that.
Yes. Yeah, it's actually the first time I kind of start talking about it, but yeah, it's a attunement to our body. So we're talking about that mind-body connection. If I can attune to what's going on inside of my body, that's the key really to breaking that transgenerational passing on of the trauma, because we attach pre-verbally. So we develop a relationship with our parents before our cognitive part of our brain is even developed, before we can talk or think. This attachment style has already developed. So it's developed pre-verbally between the ages of an infant to 3 years old, and even before then. So it's this attachment that we have with our parents, or this attachment that eventually becomes an attachment to ourselves, to our body, is what we need to access and learn how to reconnect to the messages that our body has for us. And that's what that's how I help people heal eventually from their chronic stress, which led to the chronic pain, is going way back to when this first foundational relationship developed, before we were even able to speak, when we were just babies. And we can still access that. We can access it because our body holds those what's called procedural memories. And those are, and that's what you're talking about when you're talking about our genes, are those epigenetic, the activation of certain genes, or what do they call it in epigenetics, the expression of certain genes. That happened when, you know, we were very young, but it's in our body and we can access it. It takes time, but we can, and it just starts with basically some breathing exercises and learning how to access our body through our breath. And that's where I start with my clients.
Dorothy, to me, it is such a mind-blowing idea that we can heal ourselves physically by going back emotionally, psychologically to our early childhood and connecting with our bodies and to our early experiences mentally. And then that results in physical healing. I mean, I experienced it, so I know it to be true, but to me, it's just mind-blowing. And I know it's something that's being studied as we've talked about a little bit already, but, you know, my desire, my fantasy, if you will, my utopia will be for the medical profession to take this on and incorporate this into treating people medically, because it's such an important part of healing. Not just important, it might be the only way to heal.
Yeah. You know?
have these chronic conditions linked to this trauma.
There are, you know, just to put in a word of hope, I guess, that there are medical doctors that are changing their practice. I go to one myself for weight loss, and it seems the key to finding them or for them to transition is to get out of the medical model of the medical business model of treating their patients, because the medical business model is all about making money, and it's all about the insurance companies have.
Yeah, Dorothy, I could totally get on a soapbox about the medical business model that you just mentioned. So it's great that there are doctors out there who are breaking out of that model so that they can treat people differently.
And
so
you can find them.
It just takes some work. Yeah. Dorothy, you mentioned attunement and some breathing exercises. Can you provide our listeners with maybe a couple of first steps to start?
Yes.
Connecting with this mind-body connection in order to heal?
Yes, certainly. I'd love to. But first of all, I think it's good to understand why. Why does the breath work? Why is it so impactful and effective? And the reason is because when we are under stress and we are what's called triggered, or scared, you could just, you know, use that word, just when we're scared, what happens is our body reacts like very quickly and goes into what's called fight, flight, freeze, or faint. And this is a very fast reaction. Cortisol, adrenaline, epinephrine all get released very quickly. And it throws our body into this defensive mode, this fight. So all the blood gets sent to our arms and our legs for fight and flight, or it just gets sent all, it just gets sent all over our whole body. It lowers our digestive, or shuts down our digestive system. It shuts down our immune system. It shuts down different systems that aren't important to survival. So anything that's not important for fighting, fleeing, or freeze is what kids do. Freeze. It's like
you see baby animals do that a lot. You know, if you startle a baby animal, it'll just stop.
Like, right.
Maybe if I'm really still, the predator won't see me.
Exactly. So you can imagine, you know, this going on chronically over decades. Of course, we're going to develop physical problems. But the one way that we do have control, because like I said, it happens so fast, is by slowing our breath down, because we can't tell our it happens so fast. You just can't. And we know this, when somebody's upset, probably the worst thing you can say to them is, why don't you just calm down? And that's just ridiculous, because it just makes us worse. So, but the one thing that we can do is take a slow deep breath. And that's why intuitively, a lot of times we will, you know, say to somebody, just take a deep breath, just take a deep breath. It's going to be okay. And then you do. And it helps. So if we develop a practice of slow, deep breathing every day, what happens is our breath rhythms are connected to our heart rate. So when we slow our breath down for, say, 2 to 3 minutes, or maybe just a minute, our heart rate will slow down. And then our blood pressure, and then it just kind of slows down, and then it just kind of reverses that whole cascade of events that threw us into fight, flight, freeze, or faint in the first place. And that's why the breath is so powerful, because it's where we have control. We can actually take a slow deep breath when we can't tell our heart rate to slow down. We don't really have control over anything else, but we do have control over our breath. And these different breath rhythms, and there are hundreds of them, if you just go online and, you know, you'll find hundreds and hundreds of YouTube videos and articles and just a lot of different breath rhythms that people use because they're so effective and they do affect our nervous system. So the basics of slowing your breath down is you breathe in your nose and you lengthen it as long as you are comfortable. You try and bring it all the way down into your belly, and you know, people start at different places and you just start wherever you can start. But if possible, put your hand on your belly and push your belly out a little bit so that you can feel that breath really come all the way down into your belly. And then you just slowly and exhale out your mouth. So it's in your nose, out your mouth, and then lengthening it as much as you can. And then you just start with a minute a day, because you want to build this into your life. You want to build this as a lifestyle practice as much as possible, rather than just doing it once a month or, you know, 30 minutes on a Saturday, which would be helpful. But to really bring that baseline down from the chronic stress. If we have chronic stress, that means, you know, it's not going to help much unless we start daily, if you want to say, use the same word, chronically start to lower it. And we can do that with just the slow, deep breathing every day.
Yeah. So Dorothy, so practicing the slow, deep breathing at least 1 minute every day. So I would imagine then when you are in a stressful situation, you can go to that breath more easily. You've already practiced it. You already know how to do it. And 1 minute a day, I mean, that's like nothing. You know, I could imagine you could easily do that maybe three times a day, you know, like,
yeah,
3 minutes a day. Just imagine, you know. And, you know, for our listeners, if you're going through a breakup or your ex is, you know, triggering you or whatever it is, or you're at work and you're having a very stressful situation at work and you feel yourself like getting into that place of whether it's anxiety or anger, just take that, just remember Dorothy and that long deep breath and just breathe before you send a text, before you respond to your boss's email or whatever it is. Just take that long, slow breath. Mm-hmm. That's such a great tip. And gosh, oh my goodness, you can tell this is a topic I love because we are running out of time here. But I did just want to touch on one more thing before we wrap up, which is, Dorothy, what are some of the myths that people believe that might actually prevent them from healing or from even identifying that they need to heal, if you will?
Yeah, that's a great question. And you know, one of the myths I think is that what happened to me in the past doesn't matter anymore. And also that the word abuse, or how we think of our childhood, is like, well, you know, I didn't have any abuse when I was a kid. And we're really not talking about abuse when it comes to chronic pain and childhood trauma, because our parents did do, like I said, the best that they could. And I think just understanding that, you know, trauma gets transferred with even our best intentions. You know, I love my kids. I love my kids dearly. And yet, you know, I passed on a lot of my trauma to them. So, you know, and I think a lot of it comes down to, like, I don't want to have to blame my parents, or I don't want to have to feel like, you know, I did something bad. And you know, or to my kids, or like I wasn't abused. So, you know, it's kind of a protective way of thinking about our childhood. And I agree, you know, maybe you weren't abused, but still, you know, that's the way we have to go back, I think, to heal. So that might be one of the myths that, you know, we're trying to protect ourselves or we're trying to protect our parents, but just know that it's not your fault and it's not their fault either. And really, if you start this work and really start healing at the root issues, which is your attachment to yourself, you know, it's an attachment trauma or an attachment disconnect, that something went wrong there, that once you start healing that, then that just transforms, you know, all your relationships. It starts with the relationship to yourself, and we really have to get to the root of it. And it's, you know, it's not anybody's fault.
Yeah. Thank you, Dorothy. So basically, one of the myths is that people may not, first of all, use the word abuse to describe their childhood or their experiences. And if they don't recognize that their childhood experiences or some other experience in their life is the root cause of their chronic pain, there's no way for them to then heal that or to remove the chronic pain. So yeah, it's such a good point that we may not have been abused, or we may not use that word to describe our experiences, and that's okay. That doesn't mean that those experiences aren't what are contributing to your chronic pain. So it's really important to go back and look at that. And Dorothy, I know that you have an online course that if our listeners are experiencing chronic pain, they can check that out, Pain to Possibility, and it's about how to heal the root cause of your chronic pain.
Yes, thank you.
Where can people find that?
On my website, which is my name, so it's just dorothyhouston.com, and I have a tab or a page with all my online courses there, and you can sign up there. You can sign up for just to talk to me if you'd like to just get acquainted. You can sign up for on my calendar to just have a 30-minute talk with me, or you can also sign up on my website to receive a free gift of 4 breaths, where they're little audio clips of me leading you through 4 different types of breath rhythms that you can learn to reduce your stress, reduce your chronic stress.
Oh, that sounds amazing. Thank you, Dorothy. For our listeners who are interested in that, the free gift, 4 breath rhythms to lower stress, you can also find that on the event page if you're driving and didn't get a chance to jot down Dorothy's name and website. A free gift, the audio clips to 4 breath rhythms to lower stress. Just go to the event page, the same place where you access this interview, and right next to Dorothy's name and information, you will see a link that you can click on. And also do check out her website, dorothyhouston.com, right? Mm-hmm. And you will see a Pain to Possibility, an online course. So this is a great time if you're somebody who's having to be at home right now to check out that online course about how to heal the root cause of chronic pain. And as Dorothy said, and I just want to reiterate, there is hope. You know, I bumbled through this on my own and figured this out for my chronic pain. It took me many years to figure this out and come to these realizations. And so wish I had met Dorothy earlier in my journey and she could have gotten me there much faster. But you know, we're both here to tell you that you can heal your chronic pain or your chronic illness. And Dorothy has a way to help you get there, which is amazing. And then of course her book is coming out next month, Surviving to Thriving, Breaking the Transgenerational Chains of Trauma. So keep a lookout for that as well.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Dorothy. It was such a pleasure talking with you. And I'm sure our listeners learned some tips on how to heal chronic pain, or even just the understanding that their chronic pain may be linked to their trauma or their experiences. To our listener, just a reminder, you have access to this conversation with Dorothy Houston for a full 7 days after it's released. And of course, do check your email for the next conversation in this series. Don't forget to check your promo or junk boxes, as our emails do sometimes end up there, even if you've already marked us as safe. And I look forward to connecting with you at our next episode.